The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
What is happening? Why are we screaming?
We feel like it's necessary. My name is Nick Weibar. This is Super Skull. We're doing this. Vault of Midnight's weekly new comic day audio digest. I am standing up. You know who else is standing up?
My name is Marcus Schwimmer. I'm also standing up. I'm stretching the glutes today.
How does it feel? It
feels good. I've been sitting for a while, so this feels nice.
You know who we're missing, though?
Who?
Talk to me. Talk to me who's missing.
Curtis 50 Cent Sullivan.
Nice nickname.
Is sitting down today because my thighs hurt, man.
We're in the studio. Two men stand, one man sits.
Yeah, it's just like Thunderdome, okay? Two men stand, one man sits.
That's exactly what it's like. I'm so happy to be here with both of you.
It's a pleasure.
We're recording on an abnormal day today.
Yeah, we're recording on Tuesday.
It feels a little weird.
It does.
Because there's a beat and a cadence to the week.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like Wednesdays, we record a podcast.
Yeah.
But we're just like messing up the rhythm right now.
Well, and also like tonight's Tuesday night. Normally at this time I'm at home just texting you dudes about the podcast.
Getting ready.
We're just like digging into the podcast. We're like trying to learn about something. We're not doing any of that this week.
Not this week.
It's why is that? Curtis, why is that?
Because of Detroit.
What's happening in Detroit?
We're opening a new comic book store and we had to move everything around because it's like crunch time.
Yeah, we're going to open a new comic shop next week, and it's pretty wild.
It's pretty crunchy.
It's been really interesting watching the three co-owners of Vault of Midnight just get more excited as the weeks have gone on. It's been a blast. Yeah, like right now, the three of you are just like vibrating with positive Detroit energy, and it's infectious.
It's pretty cool, man. Yeah. You know what's really cool?
What?
Opening new comic shops.
It's your favorite thing. You've said it before.
Fucking love opening new comic shops.
Yeah, it's really
true.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun.
You look at it for so long.
Yes.
And we've spent 2 years with this thing. We've been looking at like 3D SketchUp designs of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been designing furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But like right now, that furniture exists.
It's not a digital rendering anymore. It's a physical thing made out of MDF and metal and corian.
And piss and heart and blood
and fear
and fear and tears but mostly love and MDF
absolutely
and so that cash wrap is going in right now and it's like the size of a car.
And so most people hear cash wrap and they're immediately want to see what the next episode of This American Life is that they can listen to instead of this.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's a really big cash wrap.
We call it the mothership.
It's really cool looking, and it's really kind of oversized.
Yeah, the dude who made it calls it Cash Motherfucking Island.
Yeah,
so there's that. I don't know if I can say that. I'd said it into a microphone, so deal with it.
What else is going on in Detroit? What else? It's all coming together. All the shelves are getting put in.
Yeah, yep.
Curtis and I spent the entire day yesterday crawling around.
Oh, on the floor.
On all fours.
Yeah.
We were cutting up this giant piece of art so that we can stick it up in the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And it all came together and it was beautiful. It was physically taxing though.
It was. I'm exhausted and my legs hurt.
I feel a little weird today.
Yep.
If it sounds like a weird podcast, it's because it's a weird week, you guys.
Pretty weird.
We're in crunch time for a brand new comic shop. We are midwifing a new comic shop into the world.
Well, let me tell you this, though. All that crawling around, though, shit looks good.
It's coming together.
I'm saying it.
I think it's going to be pretty cool. If you're in the area, we would love to hang out with you at Vault of Midnight Detroit on May 2nd when we open the doors.
Mm-hmm. Check out our Facebook page for more details.
Or vaultofmidnight.com or any of that shit, man. You already know where to find us. You're listening to Super Skull. Let's do this. What's up in the news this week, you guys?
News, what do I got? We've got the Savalt War.
What is that?
That's a charity drive that we're doing at both Vaults of Midnight.
It's going so much better than we had ever anticipated.
So there's a movie coming out. It's called Civil War.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's about somebody versus somebody. A couple comic book characters. I skimmed it.
It's like Captain somebody and like Iron Face.
Exactly. And they're fighting. They're mad at each other. I don't know. And what we're doing is to capitalize on that, on all the free media that this movie's coming out with.
Mm-hmm.
We are having a charity drive for both of our shops in Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids. We're both raising money for different respective charities.
Yeah, Grand Rapids is Iron Pants,
mm-hmm.
and Ann Arbor is like Colonel Sanders,
mm-hmm.
and you go to one and you donate.
Exactly. At the end of your purchase, you might be solicited for a donation of some kind.
It's been really great. The reception from the peoples has been bigger than we thought. Each mm-hmm. store, we're neck and neck right now in this charity drive. And the store that wins, something very cool is going to happen.
We're going to have a big sale
at
that store.
We're going to have a giant sale. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's awesome. It's one of the coolest things I've seen happen at Vault. And yep. Both stores are just super hyped about it.
Grand Rapids is raising money for the Grand Rapids Children's Museum,
which is a totally excellent museum right downtown that does so many cool things.
And Ann Arbor is raising money for 826 Michigan, the robot supply store right around the corner from us.
But they do more than just supply robots. They do tutoring and literacy and...
They actually don't really supply robots at all. This was actually bullshit because I had some robot needs that I went in there for the other day and they were like...
No, it turns out it's an elaborate front.
Supremely unhelpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All they wanted to do was change children's lives.
Oh, man.
For the better.
Crock of shit. We're actually really pleased to be working with both of those organizations. It's going really well. Stop by Vault of Midnight. Make a donation, if you would. This event's going to be running for the next couple of weeks.
Runs up
mistaken.
Until the 6th.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
It's a weird week. I feel like it's a weird week. Marcus and I are still standing.
It's very strange.
But you know what? It's nice because I can, like, sometimes, because I sit at the weird part of the table.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can just look right into your eyes, which is what I want every podcast.
So the fact that the two of us are standing right now, and that other Marcus, which is Curtis,
other Cuss,
that he is sitting,
It's
changed the whole vibe around. I feel like I'm on a brand new podcast, which is what I always wanted, and I had no idea.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys should be bringing me aperitifs.
Do you feel like we're waiters?
I think you should serve me.
Really? Because I was going to make an age correlation joke, but I don't know.
Mm. No, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, it's just the two young bucks, the two studs. We're standing. We got the energy for days.
Yeah, I'm jumping. Mm-hmm. I'm jumping.
But old man Sully over here, he's got a limited amount, and he's saving it right now.
Well,
that was my joke.
That's about on par for what's really happening. So.
What else is going on in this news?
Here we go. So for some news, quick, we got Space Riders Volume 2. It's called Universe of Brutality.
What was Space Riders?
Space Riders was about like this dude named Captain Pellegro and his space orangutan and sexy robot lady that flew around in a space skull and kicked ass. And it was one of my favorite comics of last year. I think it was one of all of our favorite comics of last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's back for Round 2. It's Fabian Rangel and this dude Alex Zarit, and they are just two of the coolest dudes making comics right now. It's coming out from Black Mass Studios. I'm crazy hype.
It was absolutely one of my favorite books of last year.
Yeah, best logo, best covers, best comic book.
Mm.
Check it out. It's out in trade paperback. Snag a copy. It's worth it.
That's not the only thing that is going to make more comics out of itself.
Right.
There's another one.
So we've all been in love with this book called Headlopper.
Andrew McLean.
Yeah, man. And I feel like we've been talking about it every podcast that an issue comes out. We just talk about it.
Yeah, but an issue only comes out like every 3 months.
Yup.
It's quarterly.
Dig this. It was only going to be 4 issues.
And now?
It's going to be an ongoing series.
Yes.
Woo! All right.
Headlopper is, to me, like the greatest, most epic D&D adaptation, but it's so much more. It's just the best fantasy story out right now.
It's the shit. It's a big old fatty. It's funny. It's smart. It looks good as hell. It's colored totally good. Great book. And you can jump in anywhere. Some of the issues aren't available. Just grab any issue of Headlopper. I think 1 through 3 are out now. 4 is any time now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to jump into an ongoing. It's worth it.
And each one is like thousands of pages.
Literally for like $4 you get like, I think it's 800 pages.
Yeah. It's almost endless.
So
it's really the best. I hope when they bind it all together that they do like a sweet leather tome of a comic
You're
book.
Saying leather?
Yeah, of course. Well, it's a great medieval story. It deserves to be wrapped in some form of enchanted leather.
Stamped, too. Like stamped leather.
Oh, yeah, it's
got
to be stamped.
So at Vault of Midnight, we have these handbooks that we give out to brand new employees, that we give out to everybody.
Mm.
This is how we do things. And we actually, when we got them printed, we set some aside for the tiny book binder that's attached to the printer, and we were going to get some leather bound copies.
Oh, that's right.
That'd be cool.
Of our employee handbook.
Right.
And then because we're idiots, we forgot about it.
That's true. No.
And we left them at the printer. And there's like this, so they're just sitting there waiting to be entombed in some sort of leather and stamped with gold.
Shit.
It's going to be sweet.
We
when
should
it happens.
Do that.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there right now.
Well, also in the news, International Tabletop Day is coming up next week, April the 30th.
My favorite holiday, International Tabletop Day.
So International Tabletop Day, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
There's this. There's a YouTube channel.
It's a large social media machine.
Yeah. Started out as a YouTube channel, though.
Yeah,
right?
It's a Felicia Day's brainchild called Geek and Sundry.
Geek and Sundry.
Great name.
And there was a show. It was hosted by Will Wheaton.
Correct.
Was it called Tabletop?
It was. It is.
And
still
the,
going.
And the it, that's still going.
Oh, yeah.
And the event sprung out of that.
Yeah, so Will Wheaton loves board games. Mm-hmm. He's a board game fanatic. So we did this show, Tabletop, and it caught the internet by fire. And it became just one of the biggest things in the tabletop community. Still is. Mm-hmm. And so out of it came International Tabletop Day. And I think we're on our fourth third or fourth International Tabletop Day this year.
That sounds right.
That sounds
at least
right.
Three,
yeah.
Maybe four.
Yeah. It was just crazy. It's a day where everyone who loves board games or people want to check out board games get together at certain locations, and we just play games for a day.
All day long. It's an international celebration of the form.
Yeah, and we got some really cool things going on at our Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids locations this year to celebrate mm-hmm. International Tabletop Day. I have a little kind of exciting announcement for the Ann Arbor location.
What is it?
So Mayfair.
I actually don't know what this is going to be.
Mayfair Games, pretty big game company.
Yes.
One of their all-star employees, Alex Yeager.
That guy's the best.
Will be demoing a brand new Mayfair game called Costa Rica. At our International Tabletop Day, this game has not been played in public. Mm-hmm. And Alex is going to bring it and let everyone give it a shot with him at Ann Arbor's International
First
Tabletop
time.
Day.
First time. Exclusive.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to call it a launch. I don't want to. Yeah, I'm going to. It's a launch of Costa Rica at our International Tabletop Day. And I've played the game and it is awesome.
So find a Vault of Midnight near you if possible.
Yep.
If not, go and check on internationaltabletopday.com, which I assume is a URL.
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm. And find out a venue that's near you and you can get down to this. If you're curious about board games, if you're wondering what all the fuss is about, if you're already a fan of it and you're looking for people to play with, there's a big directory of all sorts of venues that are going to be hosting this event.
Yeah, it is just the best day to get together with other people in the gaming community and just try new stuff and make new friends.
Special time in board gaming right now.
You know, it really is.
It actually really is.
It's kind of crazy the amount of really great games that are coming out all the time.
Yeah.
New games, different types of games that we've never seen before. I am a board game buyer for Vault of Midnight, mm-hmm. and there's just so many games that are coming out that I have a catalog of maybe 20 games that have come out that I need to play,
mm-hmm.
and there's just so many games.
It's kind
it's
of
awesome.
Nuts how many. Yeah, even if there's just one a week, which is so many.
Yeah,
but that's kind of the pace. It's at least one or two a week.
It's a really special time.
Yeah.
You can tell it's special because I'm talking like this.
Talking in your special voice.
My bedroom voice.
Yeah.
What in the heck?
No, it is really cool. And we're really going to be featuring in Ann Arbor this game called Fuse, which we're going to be talking about later.
We're going to do a couple of board game reviews today in honor of International Tabletop Day.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
In other news, the Eisner Awards were announced. Actually, last week, we were remiss in not talking about it. Is that what I want to say? Yeah, we didn't talk about it last week. We're going to spend some time on it, I think, next week because it deserves a little bit more attention than our stupid brains can give it right now.
It's the biggest award in comic. It deserves some time.
Absolutely.
Word up.
That's all for the news. Can we talk about some big picks,
please? Please, God, yes.
Let's do it.
Here's what I propose.
Okay.
Marcus?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to sit down. Are you going to sit down?
Why were you going to sit?
I'm only going to do it if you do it.
I feel great.
It's starting to catch up with me a little bit.
We'll do it after Big Picks.
After Big Picks? That's a half hour from now.
So I'm so glad you asked about my big pick, Nick.
Yeah, I did.
A while ago, this comic came out called X-Men, Worst X-Man Ever.
Mm.
And we're on issue number 3 right now.
Uh-huh.
And I know we're supposed to pick number 1s. But I'm just so in love with this comic book that I want to talk about it all the time.
What's this guy's mutant power again?
So if he activates his mutant power, he explodes like a nuke,
but he
dies.
Right.
Right? So he has a mutant power that's like essentially useless.
Hence, he is...
the worst X-Man ever.
Got it.
But it's also the best X-Men book out right now. Yeah, for sure. Name a better X-Men book right now.
I don't want to.
That's because it doesn't exist.
Okay.
It's so great for a number of reasons. So Max Bemis is the one who's writing this. Michael Walsh is the one doing the art. It's about this dude. Yeah, he's the worst X-Men ever. If he uses his mutant power, he explodes.
Kablam!
Yeah, and it's all over. But in this particular one, he's trying to find his place in the Xavier School.
Oh, Marcus.
Because he's essentially just a kid.
Oh, boy.
But Magneto is out for him.
Uh-oh.
Because he's essentially a giant terrorist weapon. Right, if you were to activate him.
So, like, Magneto's, like, really the bad Magneto in this
one?
Yeah,
he's very much the bad Magneto.
Because, you know, with Magneto, you don't, you know.
Right.
It's like sometimes he's your best friend, sometimes
he's a good Nito, sometimes you get a bad Nito.
But how do you convince a brand-new high school boy to come join the evil side? You do it by Mystique changing into different women that he's, like, kind of falling into.
Oh, my God.
It's super adorable. It's very cute. In this one, they go to a resource fair to like try to get other mutant kids to come to the Xavier School.
I see.
And he
What's the competition for other little mutant boys?
Well, you gotta think you have like Young Avengers. Like, there's other groups out there that want mutants, right?
They're recruiting.
Yeah. So he meets.
It's like a job fair for mutants.
Is there?
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah. So this is a good question. Who does the Xavier School for gifted youths, who do they play against in football? Is there any competition?
No one.
There's not
no.
another mutant school.
Young Avengers, probably. Maybe. I don't know.
They don't have their own school.
No, not that we know of.
They're just a posse.
But the great catch in this one is he meets a mutant who's the opposite. She has the ability, and she's a teenager like him, to just blink things out of existence.
Oh.
And you're just gone forever.
She has a very good power.
She's higher than Jean Grey, Beast says in the mutant power.
What?
Level. But Beast has this really great dialogue where he goes into like the responsibility. Like, she can't use her powers because for ethical reasons. No one should have the ability to just wish something out of existence. So you have the worst,
I could handle it.
You have the worst mutant and the most powerful mutant, and neither one of them can use their powers. And now they have a little bit of a dynamic that's really good. So yeah, X-Men, worst X-Men ever, number 3 of 5. This series blows me away every issue. Everyone should be reading it. It's an excellent comic book.
It's got a pretty cool cover. I did like issue number 1. I haven't read 2 or 3 yet. But remember, I thought issue number 1 was pretty dang cute.
It's pretty cute. But did you read anything else
yes,
that you
I
liked?
Did. International Iron Man number 2 came out this week. It's the origin story of Tony Stark when he's in college.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
Tony Stark, yeah. The college years.
Well, the big part of it is Tony Stark doesn't know who his biological father is anymore. We learned that it's not Howard Stark. So he's kind of going on this journey. That's half of it. The other half is flashbacks to his college years.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Kind of him developing what is going to make him a hero later on. I like it when origin stories get retold and retold well. And the last one is A Year of Marvels, The Amazing Number 1. It's a cute, it's done by Ryan North.
It looks so good. I want to read it. The cover is just great.
What do we know Ryan North from?
Yeah, he does Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Mm-hmm.
One of Curtis's favorite books.
Oh, yeah. Also Adventure Time.
Yeah, and Adventure Time.
That guy's great.
But the first half of this is like a Peter Parker on Valentine's Day, can't make his date on time, kind of classic Peter Parker story. And the second one is just a wonderful, amazing Ant-Man story that I don't really want to talk about because it should be read fresh.
But we can say that there is the Vulture on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I get, the more I think the Vulture is just so hysterical and awesome.
Why?
Because he's like an ancient old guy in like a skin-tight green suit, and his name is the Vulture.
Yeah.
That is ridiculously awesome.
You got to really want it. You're going to call yourself the Vulture.
The fucking Vulture? I mean, yeah, I'm the Puma, right? I get that.
That's cool. That's
right?
Objectively cool.
I'm the
cool.
Eagle, right? Yeah. I'm the Vulture?
Well, so
wow,
the,
man.
He knows himself. He knows what he is.
That's right. There it is.
The cute twist in this book is that like Peter Parker's trying to get to a Valentine's date, but so is the Vulture. He's like doing a job to get his lady friend a present. Peter Parker's trying to stop him so that he can go give his lady friend a present. Very cute.
Nice. So I see that Grizzly is also on that cover, Marcus.
I can't talk about Grizzly because I get so excited, but he's the main focus. Who's of this.
And Grizzly is?
Grizzly is Ant-Man's sidekick. He's a dude who wears a giant mechanical grizzly bear suit.
And his face is like in the mouth of the grizzly bear
it's
suit.
He would not be mistaken for a bear under any circumstances. He's not fooling anyone.
Yeah. My dude's got these long bear claws.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They like show him doing day-to-day activities in various comics with these huge, like zipping his pants or like drinking a beer.
Yeah.
And he has to be really dainty. It's like because he has these really long bear claws. It's extremely funny.
Yeah,
anyways,
it's very, very good. But yeah,
love me some Grizzly.
My pick, X-Men, worst X-Men ever, number 3.
Is there anything that you haven't read yet that you are stoked to read?
So Darkwing Duck number 1 came out. Mm-hmm. From Disney Comics. I'm a huge Darkwing Duck fan. Very excited about that. But also,
you're a Darkwing Duck dork.
I'm a huge Darkwing Duck dork. So yeah, that would be the one that I haven't read yet that I'm super pumped for.
Curtis Sullivan.
Yes.
50 Cent?
Yeah, call me 50 Cent.
Because your first name is Curtis.
Yeah.
And 50 Cent's first name is also Curtis.
Yes.
That's why you gave yourself that nickname.
Yeah.
What was your pick this week?
Well, because they gave us all rap nicknames that nobody used. You're the Notorious NIC, which is like Notorious B.I.G.
I saw it.
Right?
I read
dope.
It.
It's dope. It's really dope. And then Marcus was Biz Marquis. It's like Biz Marquis.
It's pretty good.
So, I mean, it all just fucking hit. It was like gold. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop nickname gold.
And here we are.
My big pick of the week is...
I'm going to sit too.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
Yeah, I sat. I broke first.
Oh, it feels so good to sit, y'all. Curtis,
Alrighty.
What was your big pick
week? My big pick is Over the Garden Wall number 1.
It was an excellent choice.
Over the Garden Wall was a great animated cartoon that ran in all these tiny little parts. It was like, 8-10 minute episodes or something like this.
The whole thing's like an hour and a half.
It's so beautiful.
For the whole series.
It's available streaming and in all kinds of ways. Please check it out if you can. If you have the means, I highly recommend it.
Here's what I recommend. I've recommended this before. Wait for a brisk day.
Mm-hmm.
Get a blanket.
Yes.
In a morning time when you don't have anything to do for a while. In that morning time.
Yes.
Watch the whole thing from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then enjoy one of the best days you're ever going to have for the rest of your life.
It's fucking magical.
I did that thing. Nick made that recommendation and I did it. And it was great.
And it just carried with you through the whole day.
Yeah. And I went in with a giant cup of hate. Yep. And I loved it.
You thought Nick was probably recommending you like some Rick and Morty or some shit, right?
Right, you're some like, Adventure Time goofiness. Yeah, right, but this is miles better.
That is to say, Nick loves like a Rick and Morty or these kind of cartoons. Marcus does not.
Yeah, because he has terrible taste.
But
Over the Garden Wall has done a couple of different comic book series at this point.
So it's done. It did 1 4-issue miniseries and 1 1-shot.
Yes.
And we thought that was all we were going to get.
And we were grateful.
And we were like, thank goodness that there was even any more than that beautiful, wondrous cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as of today, we have an ongoing Over the Garden Wall series.
And I was a little apprehensive.
Like, do we need any more?
Well, Pat McHale is the creator of the show.
Yes.
And the writer of every episode of that show was not involved in the creation of this brand new series.
Correct.
And I didn't know if, is this a cash grab? Is this just a license grab?
Yeah.
Are they just trying to, you know, trade in on the very good name of Over the Garden Wall?
Which would be, that's a reasonable
it's totally
thing to suspect.
And it happens all the time. We
Correct.
See it happen all the time with comic books.
Yes.
I was so pleasantly surprised.
Yes, I am happy to concur with you that this is excellent, and I'm so glad it exists and that it will be ongoing. It's in good hands. Jim Campbell is writing this, also Amelia Lavari. I'm not familiar with either of these writers, but they handle it with aplomb. The first story is about young Greg.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a weird dream-timey thing where he's looking for his frog.
So let's say this. Over the Garden Wall is a story of two brothers lost in the woods trying to get home.
Yes.
What are their names?
Greg.
Yeah?
And Wirt.
That's exactly right. They have a little bird pal that follows them around.
Uh-huh, who can talk human talk.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of their adventures in the woods.
Yes.
And the brilliance of this is, and I don't know how to describe the tone of this show, it's a little bit sad.
Yeah.
It's the tone of it, it's very funny in most parts.
It's super funny. It's got these weird flowery kind of theatrical flourishes.
Yep.
There's like the dialogue and stuff.
It's very musical.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. The tone of it manages, they somehow keep it very light while the things that are running underneath it are very scary and very sad.
It can be terrifying, and there is a sadness to it.
There is, and maybe the woods is being dead. Like, we don't know exactly what they're going for the whole, but it's
right.
possible that they're just, you know, the entire thing is about, like, how to deal with loss and how to deal with death. And it's very sad with this very interesting kind of funny overlay.
Yeah, and that's, and the flip side of that is it is extremely funny.
Yeah.
And really endearing and really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Greg is so optimistic and adorable.
Yes.
Like, he would just light up any room. Everybody's in a good mood if you spend 5 minutes with Greg.
He wears a teapot on his head.
It's wonderful.
And his brother Wirt is a real, real prick.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a sour puss.
Yeah, he's a real worry Wirt.
Yeah, he's a worry Wirt.
He's very nervous and apprehensive about everything. He's terrified of the whole world. He doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Yep.
And his brother is the exact opposite. It's a really amazing show.
True.
And the comic books have, to this point, really nailed the tone of it.
Oh, so this is, I guess, technically the sixth comic,
mm-hmm.
and it's just all gold. I'm so glad it exists. I'm so glad there's more of it.
I agree.
There's two short stories in this book. One of them is about Greg. The second one is about the daughter of the woodsman from the cartoon.
It's one of the key characters in the show, voiced by Christopher Lloyd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who kills it? So wonderful. So yeah, could go on and on and on, but I won't spoil any of it. For you, please do yourself a favor. Check out anything that says Over the Garden Wall on it, cartoons or comics.
And this first issue is two different short stories.
Yep.
And one of them is a little bit lighter, and the other one is, like, not that light at all.
Nope.
And it's just perfectly captures what that show is going for.
Agreed.
Can't recommend it highly enough.
That's my big pick. That's Over the Garden Wall, number one from Kaboom.
I'm so proud of you, Curtis. You see, you've had a big week, man, and you're still with us. You're still
somehow
awake.
Yeah,
you're doing it.
There's a bunch of shit I want to read also this week, but I don't know if I'll get to it.
What else do you want to read?
I want to read Batman 51 because
mm-hmm.
it's Batman.
Good cover, maybe cover of the week.
That's a damn fine cover.
Oh, I will second that cover of the week right now. Describe it to me. Talk to me.
So it's the cowl of the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And down the front of it, it's spread open, and you see through Gotham. Lit at night.
Yes.
And above all of that, kind of tucked into the top of the cowl.
Right where it would be on the Batman.
On the Batman is the bat signal.
It's fucking awesome.
It's just absolutely stunning.
It is fucking fresh. I have not seen it until this very moment, and it's really, really good.
Greg Capullo has been destroying this comic art-wise. And
it's
I would say, you know, if 51 issues in, he's done 12 of the best Batman covers that have ever been on a comic book.
Yeah.
So nice work, Greg Capullo.
I thought Greg Capullo peaked in 1997 with The Creech.
Yep. Wrong.
I was wrong.
Yep.
He's still really got it going.
He's still
on.
Got it.
I don't even know if we've seen his peak yet.
That's the thing. He's got a book coming out with your boy, Mark Millar.
Really?
Yeah. So those guys are going to rock
exciting.
A six-issue book together.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait for the first issue of that book and not any other issues of it.
What's that, Marcus?
I was gonna make just point out the fact that a Mark Millar book up for an Eisner this year.
Oh, that's true.
The Oscars of comics.
Here's what I've always said about the Eisners.
Recognizing
it's
Mark
fucking
Millar.
Corrupt.
Oh, come the fuck on.
It's total bullshit.
You're full of shit.
All of the Eisners, total bullshit.
You're full of baloney.
Which is a thing that I started saying once Mark Millar got nominated for Cronenberg.
Oh,
I'm saying, like, whenever
on.
I agree with them, it's perfect and fine and
yeah,
great and
exactly.
wonderful. I got to give honorable mention for cover of the week to both of the covers of Low. Also, Low number 13 has two covers by Mr. Greg Tocchini, and they're both fucking stellar.
Greg Tocchini did both of the covers?
Peep them
to
covers,
these two
son.
Variants?
Yeah, Roy.
And this is the beginning. This issue of Low is the beginning of a new story arc.
It is.
Which is a new opportunity for new readers. Sorry I said that out loud, but it's true.
That's one of the best books coming out, y'all.
Read
and we
Low.
Say it constantly.
It's good shit.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah, and I'm still going to read Dark Knight 3, The Master Race number 4. It's finally out this week, even though it had one of the weirdest covers ever that I've ever seen in my whole life by Frank Miller.
We should link to that variant cover in our show notes just so that everyone can get a gander at maybe the weirdest cover that I've seen on a comic book in a really long time.
It's total garbage.
But it's more than garbage. It's like just bizarre.
That's Chaboy Frank Miller.
Whoa!
Oh my goodness. I don't even know how to describe it. It's anatomically horrendous.
Yes.
It is geometrically horrendous.
Yes.
It's not pleasant to look at in any way.
It features a baby that looks like a mix between Abe Bagoda and
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle. It's just like that's a 75-year-old baby.
It's just the worst.
Yeah.
You should check it out though. It's a pretty good laugh.
It's something to see. That's that. So that's some stuff I barely read this week.
How you feeling about it? You gonna read some more comics this week?
I hope so, but no, I won't. Nope.
There's no chance.
We got to do that whole comic store thing, so there'll be only work.
I hear you.
I'm gonna curate the shit out of some shelves, though. The amount of bric-a-brac that I'm gonna just position perfectly.
I just appreciate your spirit. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you.
Because I know you've been working a lot. You've
At least
been working
somebody
a lot
does.
Of hours. I saw you crawling around on all fours yesterday for probably 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
I was telling you earlier about my sit-down shower crying game situation that I had
at the bar.
Tell me again. Could you explain more?
Tell me again.
Well, I crawled around on my knees for so long that I scraped the skin off my knees. I wore khakis yesterday. I had this brilliant idea that I'll just wear some khakis.
It was the best,
to the
guys.
Construction site.
So there's just dirt and blood and filth everywhere, and Curtis wore khakis to work that day.
Man, my knees were brown.
Did you rip the khakis?
I did not rip the khakis, thankfully. But both knees just had just a filthy brown ring on them. It was horrible.
So to get rid of that ring, you went into the shower.
I took my pants off.
You got into the buff.
I did.
You turned the shower on hot.
Flaming hot.
Steam filled the room. And then you sat
in
the shower, knees up, arms wrapped around your knees, and just had a cry.
Exactly what happened. Yep. There it is, in a nutshell. I also slowly caressed the skin on my knees. And I used soap on my knees because I wanted to make sure they weren't infected or anything. So it stung, and I was like, oh, it stings. But I kept doing
it. Meanwhile, your phone's ringing. You can hear it. It's me calling you. Curtis, what's going on with this thing?
So actually, Christian called me while I was in the shower.
Wonderful.
Did you say anything? They just don't understand. Was there any good little lyrics to your experience?
I wish. No, that would have been great if I could have said something like nobody gets it.
We got about midway through the day yesterday, and Curtis's... His tummy started talking to him about, 11 o'clock, between 11 and noon, and the whole world became about, how do we get Curtis some lunch before he fucking blows this whole thing up?
Definitely. Jove at one point was talking to him, and he's like, man, you just leave now. He could see I checked out completely.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Get some food.
So, hey, Nick.
Yeah?
Enough about me naked in the shower. What's up with you in some comics?
Okay. Do you want me to describe my last shower to you?
Yeah, please.
Please.
I don't want to. The comic that I picked this week was Doctor Strange, The Last Days of Magic.
Number one. It's a special?
I think it's just a one-shot.
Because there's a Deadpool Last Days of Magic one-shot also.
So I'm not going to lie. I didn't do any research on this book.
You just read a comic.
I just read a comic.
How dare you?
And I think maybe there's some other books that are going to be affected by this Last Days of Magic thing.
Oh.
Are you guys familiar with this? So in Marvel, so there is magic in the Marvel universe, you guys.
It has been for a very long time.
Just like there's magic in our universe.
In the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unlike in our real world, it's running out in the Marvel universe.
Oh.
It's under assault by these beings whose name I couldn't be bothered
to
write down.
They're like a fucking cult.
They hate magic.
Yeah, they just hate it.
Absolutely.
It's gotta go.
They're like the Republicans of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
So the idea here is that all of magic is being sucked out of the world, and these different characters in the Marvel Universe are take the more magically minded characters.
Uh-huh.
Your Doctor Strange.
Your Doctor Voodoo.
Your Doctor Voodoo.
Your Zatanna.
Your Scarlet
DC.
Witches.
Your Scarlet Witches.
Zatanna's probably feeling it too a little bit.
Somehow.
David Blaine's stomach hurts and he doesn't know why. So this is actually a compilation of a bunch of different stories about people in the Marvel Universe that are affected by magic.
Oh.
And it's the story of them dealing with this assault on magic.
Right.
And it's all told, the framing of it is actually kind of neat. It's all told from the perspective of this librarian who works for Doctor Strange.
Oh, that lady's so cool.
Whose name is, can I see that comic, Marcus, please?
Isn't her name just like Karen?
It's not Karen.
It's a good librarian name, though.
If I'm not mistaken, Zelma Stanton.
Nice, Zelma.
Very much not Karen.
It would have to be Zelma, though. If you're going to be Doctor Strange's librarian, it's got to be Zelma.
So she, it's pretty hilarious. If you're not reading Doctor Strange from Jason Aaron, and who's the artist on the normal Doctor Strange book?
Chris Bocciolo.
I knew you fucking knew that, you sexy motherfucker. I knew you were just going to pull that one out of your butt.
You're welcome.
So she's basically just some civilian that he ran into. And now, and he convinced her to come be the librarian.
He cured her of like all those weird eyeballs stuck in her brain.
That's exactly.
She had like
it.
Some bat wings and some eyeballs growing out of her ear.
And now she hangs out in his library sorting his books.
Right.
And she's completely awesome. And as she's going through his books, she's reading about these different magicians across the world. And when she reads about them, we get to see a little vignette about those characters.
I like that.
So we get El Medico Místico. Dr. Mystical.
Oh.
Who is this? He's like the Mexican Dr. Strange.
That makes sense.
And then we get a little bit of Dr. Voodoo. And then we get a whole bunch of other dudes.
So is each story done by different artists?
That's correct. They're all written by Jason Aaron, though, as far as I can tell.
Well, the art is straight baller.
And in all, the Empirical, that's the name of the race that's trying to wipe magic out.
Those guys seem like pricks.
Empirical, when I've never said it out loud before. I'd only ever read it.
Yeah.
It's a really good name.
Yeah.
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 It's like all the bad birthday parties, though. Just sad.
Wait, say what?
Like, well, if all the magic's gone, what's going to happen to all the birthday parties?
That's true.
That's true.
I guess they'll just have to have, like, second-rate, like, bullshit magicians.
You can't even blow like up the candles anymore. You just got to let them burn.
Just let them
burn.
Darn
it.
Hey, speaking of Doctor Strange, have you guys peeped that new Doctor Strange cinematic trailer that dropped not too long ago?
Yes.
I never saw that.
You haven't seen it yet?
I didn't see the Star Wars trailer either.
Are you purposely not? Oh, the new
Rogue? No, I just fucking didn't watch it.
Why?
I'm sorry.
The Doctor Strange trailer is very good.
It is cool.
Benedict
Cumberbatch?
Cumberbatch.
Yeah, pretty soon we're all going to be Cumberbitches. We're just going to be on
the
train.
Oh, I'm on the jock. I love that dude.
Yeah, he's
good. Like, people are like, oh, I hate him because people like him. No, he's the shit. Sherlock's the shit. Mm-hmm. My dude was, I know, con, whatever, fine. My dude looks dope as Doctor Strange. He's got the stash.
Yep.
He's got the cape. He's got the fucking gloves. It looks dope.
Who's a better Doctor Strange? Name me who else do you want being Doctor Strange? Fucking nobody.
That's the thing. Everybody wants to be like, oh, fuck him. But like, yeah, give me a backup.
Yeah.
You don't have one.
You can't.
Suck it.
You got somebody, Marcus? Your eyes are turning.
Well, I just, you know, if you want to do an older Doctor Strange, I wouldn't mind seeing a Jeremy Irons Doctor Strange.
Too old.
Yeah. No,
you're fired.
On. What are you talking about? Doctor Strange has got some years on him.
No, he doesn't. Look at him. When he's in his prime, he's doing cartwheels and flaming magic around.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons can't do a cartwheel for shit.
I think you're full.
He's just in a Jeremy Irons mood because of that one movie that came out recently with Batman in it. And
also released this week, Doctor Strange Volume 1. So if you have not gotten on the Jason Aaron Doctor Strange tip, do it.
Yeah, do so.
It's good.
The first issues are in the first volume, mm-hmm. and it's really, really good.
I like how it's tying in with Scarlet Witch so well.
It is, but it isn't.
Well,
it is because there's this weird magic shit that's going on, but they don't interact.
No. But the two storylines do play into one another.
I completely agree with you.
Yes.
I love how they're interacting, and I love that it's not a crossover.
That's
not
the thing.
A crossover.
It's subtle, and it's there, but it's like not dependent.
Hercules? There's some stuff going on with this across many a book.
It's very neat.
Yeah, they're just doing it so subtly.
The really good Marvel books. This is like, there are reverberations.
Hey, only
I think that's how you do continuity, Mang.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the way you do it.
Keep it light. It's a light touch.
Mm-hmm.
Only one person took me up on my Hercules push-up challenge last week.
Did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
How many push-ups did you do?
10? 5?
On the spot?
Yeah.
Did they count them off?
Yeah.
The challenge was that if somebody bought a bunch of issues of Hercules.
Any issue, just to get into it.
If they bought an issue of Hercules, you would do 5 push-ups.
Yeah. I think I did 10 because it was the only person. But yeah, it was great.
You weren't there one day. This is a couple weeks ago. I might have told you about this. And somebody was like, what's up with the push-ups? And you weren't there.
So did you do them?
I did your push-ups.
Thanks,
for you.
Man.
You're welcome.
Oh, good yeah. job, buddy.
It was only great. 5 push-ups, but I did them.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks so yeah. much.
Speaking of promises that you break on podcasts, I'm actually, I only bring it up because I am getting asked by the listener.
Like, constantly.
Like a few times in the past, you know.
About my CM Punk book report.
About your book report on CM Punk because you lost a bet about Drax.
I know.
You've lost many other bets that you also haven't delivered on.
Such as what?
You definitely did not own up to your Archie bet. You had to open all of my comic books.
Did you provide me an opportunity to do such, or was I supposed to just mull around your house in my small kimono and open them as needed?
That's what I was assuming.
That's
would
a pretty
happen.
Good scenario now that you've said it.
My small kimono, by the way, I just keep at Nick's house. I don't even bring it home. It's just for when I'm hanging out at Nick's.
You owe us a CM Punk book report.
I do owe you a CM Punk book report.
And it's turning into bullshit now.
I know. It's been a long time.
We're rapidly approaching bullshit.
I know. I'm so sorry. I will get on.
Don't apologize to the listeners.
The listeners, I'm so sorry. I will get on my obligation to write a CM Punk book report.
And this is like one page, single space? Do we have any?
Oh, it's 5 pages.
5 pages.
Double-spaced is okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And the margins, I imagine, are going to be pretty flexible. And you can do the little title thing where you put your name up in the corner. That's going to take up a few lines right there.
No, I'm not going to. Look.
You're not going to fudge it?
No, I got a fucking master's degree. Let's use it a little bit, eh? So.
Well, you say that, but yet I'm sitting book reportless right now.
True.
Fucking shit. Yeah, I'll get you your book report on CM Punk.
Thank you.
A bullshit name even to begin with.
Yeah, you know,
you can do
I
a whole
feel like
you
can
do one paragraph on his name.
Actually, my I have a longtime buddy, Josh, longtime shopper of the store. I've known him forever. And he brought up the book report as well. And he's a big wrestling fan. He's like, do you need help? You need a tutor? I was like, no, I got it. Thanks.
That guy makes an excellent Macho Man Randy Savage.
Doesn't he? He's going to show up at Free Comic Book Day as Macho Man Randy Savage.
He nails it every time. All right, moving on.
You can tell we don't have a lot of material today. This is what happens when we don't have a taser.
That's right.
We just get. Let's just get.
Well,
loose.
Let's do some fucking board games.
You guys want to do some fucking board games?
Did you?
Fuck you, man. This is fucking board games.
We didn't have a taser this week
because we're so busy. So tired. Oh.
I work all day, every day, and barely get any sweep.
I almost had to work like an actual job this week.
And as a result, we're just going to review some board. Actually, it's in honor of International Tabletop Day.
That's right, you guys.
That's why we're doing it.
All jokes aside, there is a national holiday.
Yeah.
And you guys did some deep, deep preparation.
We did.
Played some games.
Yep. Played 2 board games.
Yep.
Can I get Rachel Polk on the mix, please?
Hey.
Oh, hey, buddy. That was awesome what you just did there.
What? I showed up? Yeah, that is pretty cool.
We appreciate it.
Yep.
It's half the battle. So let's talk about some board games, if we may.
If we may.
There's a couple things that we want to talk about. Let's talk about Fuse first.
Okay.
And get it out of the way.
Let's do it.
Let's get it out of the way because I loved it.
So tell me about Fuse. What's the concept? What's the perk?
You're on a spaceship.
Ooh. Ooh.
You're cruising along.
Yeah.
Space-wise. And all of a sudden, a bunch of bombs have been teleported onto your ship.
Teleported?
Teleported on there?
It's a good word.
I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's teleported, but they're bombs, so they were teleported.
Yep.
Got it.
And they're boarding your ship.
And they're because they boarded your ship. Thank you, Rachel Polk.
You're very welcome, Nick Weibar.
So the only thing that you can do at this point is defuse all of the bombs as quickly as you can, and you only have 10 minutes to do so.
So you're running around your spaceship like a crazy person.
Yes.
Trying to defuse all these bombs.
That's correct.
Okay.
And there's a timer going. It's a 10-minute game exactly.
Oh.
And it's all dice-based. So sitting in front of you is a card, and it might have, you know, a picture of 2 squares on it.
Okay.
And those squares are something that your dice require. So maybe it says one of the dice has to be red and one of the dice has to be blue.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are able to roll those dice and plug them into your card, then you can defuse that bomb and grab a new bomb.
So you're rolling till you get what you need.
Exactly.
But it's time, so you're like rolling frantically. Soon as you get what you need,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
And at some of these bombs require that you stack dice on top of each other in order to defuse them. And if you ever accidentally knock them over,
oh boy,
then you fuck that up and you got to start over on that bomb.
And the clock is just ticking.
And the clock is ticking.
And it has sound effects.
Rachel, what did you think about this game?
Oh man, it was super intense. And like, we played it pretty early in the morning, and he warned me that it was intense, and I didn't listen. You were like, are you sure? Are you sure that you're in the mindset for this? And I was like, hell yeah, I am. And then I realized what I had gotten into.
Did it wake you up? Were you like, oh my gosh, I'm awake
so
now?
I was so alert. Nice. There are so, it's such an easy game to learn because like the concept is so simple. It's just match the dice. And the whole thing of it is learning the different cards that are that are presented in front of you. But it was a fantastic game. I honestly wasn't expecting it to be that good.
It's so good. I can't stop thinking about it. And so some of these cards are, you know, you have to do a math equation. All of the dice that are present on the card have to equal up to something else.
Oh, snap.
Or this die has to be greater than the die that it's adjacent to. Or
nice.
And there's all of these different combinations. This one can only be a red number 2. There's all of these different things that it kind of requires, and the only way to get there is to just like keep frantically rolling dice.
Yeah.
But you're penalized for every die that you cannot use.
Oh.
So if you have a die that no one in the group can use in any way, then you are severely penalized for it. You
Shit.
Might have to take dice off of your cards.
So everyone's rolling same time.
One person rolls and everybody gets to share amongst those dice.
Got it.
It's very frantic.
Yes.
It requires 100% of your brain. It's the quickest 10 minutes that you'll ever spend
yep.
playing a board game.
Nice.
And there's an app for it.
Yep.
Because there's an app that you can get that is the 10-minute timer, and it also has sound effects and a woman pressuring you to go faster.
Classic.
Anyone want to make a joke there?
I was just going to say, I feel like I've played this game before.
I say we just leave it.
Marcus found the joke,
yep,
everybody.
There you go.
And I loved it. Fuse. I highly recommend it.
Let me ask you this. It's reminding me your description of Escape.
It's like, so there's another game called Escape, Curse of the Temple, which is
yes.
another cooperative timed game.
Yes.
Indiana Jones, the board game.
That's correct. And it's very good.
Uh-huh.
It is a lot different. In that, so Escape has a lot more going on, first of all.
Okay.
There's a little bit more to learn.
Sounds like.
Fuse is very, very simple. You really just need to learn how to solve the puzzles on each card, and then you're ready to play.
Got it.
And all you do is, you don't have to figure out how to run around the temple. All you have to do is figure out how to roll dice and how to solve the stuff.
I see.
But it does have that sense of anxiety.
Frantic.
It's not a relaxing game at all.
Okay.
Good.
Fuse or Escape.
Gee, I really don't think a game about defusing bombs on a spaceship should be relaxing.
It matches the theme in that way.
Nice.
The other game we played, though, I found quite relaxing.
Absolutely. It is a little bit relaxing.
Real
but
quick, Nick.
Please.
How many people can you play Fuse with?
Up to 5.
That's
few as one.
A lot of people.
Yeah. Mm. I played it with 4 people, and it worked really, really well. But it
was
also
it
worked
chaos?
Great with 2. It's
nice.
Actually a little easier with more people.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think it would be harder because I know you get more penalty cards.
You totally do get more penalty cards, but you get to spread the dice amongst 4 different people. Mm. So you get less penalty dice,
uh-huh.
if that makes sense. Marcus is yawning, so he's
bored with Fuse now. I'm not. I'm so sorry.
Or are you tired? Are you tired right now?
Yeah, fucker. I'm a little tired.
Oh, you get tired?
Oh, at some point in the day, your circadian rhythms require that you go to sleep.
Unfortunately,
that's Fuse from Renegade Games.
A fine board game, it sounds like.
It was really, really good.
So this is my big game for International Tabletop Day this year.
Fuse.
I ordered a ton of it. I got all of my volunteers are gonna know how to play it or bring a copy of their own.
Yeah,
and we are gonna just play the crap out of this game on Saturday.
Sounds like the perfect game for Tabletop Day, seriously.
Especially in Ann Arbor this year, yeah, for sure.
I played Fuse with Sandy, who used to work at Vault of Midnight.
Correct.
And he's our buddy. He owns a coffee shop around the corner from us, and we were playing Fuse at a bar, just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you start, you cannot stop.
Yeah.
And the waitress would, like, come over and ask us for stuff, and we'd both, like, turn, and we're like, we're fine! Leave us alone! It was really, really good.
Did she understand? And she was like, oh, I get it.
I don't know if she did.
Okay.
Because why would you? I don't blame her at all. I'm so sorry. Anyway, that's Fuse from Renegade Games. Check it out.
Nice.
Great little game. But that's not all. We have a double board game review this week.
Wait! There's more?
There is. It's a game called Above and Below.
It's a beautiful game.
Yeah. Marcus, tell me about it.
So Above and Below mixes two of my favorite board game themes. It is a resource management game. and also a dungeon delver, all wrapped up into one Ooh. Beautiful game.
Why should I not fall asleep when you say resource management?
Well, there are a lot of really great games that kind of fall into that genre of mm-hmm. board game. But the resource management part of Above and Below, the cool thing about it is you can access different resources by taking this risk and diving into the dungeon and fighting goblins.
Give me an example of some resources.
So resources being gems,
ooh,
fish,
nice,
pears,
okay. rope,
parchment,
pots.
Yummy.
I think that's it.
Are we selling you on it?
I had an incredibly delicious pear the other night at my house.
Mushrooms.
I forgot about the mushrooms. Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. Curtis was telling a story about the pear that he ate the other night. Hold on a second. Curtis, please continue.
I just got a bag of the best fucking pears.
How much did you pay for it?
I can't remember, but it was, I'm sure, a reasonable price. The pear was so juicy.
Did you wash it first?
That I had to have a napkin under the pear for every bite because it was just gushing juice.
To sop it from your drooling chin.
Yes.
From where did you get this pear?
Ooh, might have been Trader Joe's.
That's Trader Joe's best pears in town.
Just are pears in season right now? I certainly wouldn't know, but these were some delicious pears, and I did wash it. Thanks for asking.
I would certainly hope that they were delicious.
I mean, it was like an uncommonly good fucking pear.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't have brought it up, but Marcus mentioned pears. Moving on. Marcus, he's in stitches. Nick, what do you have for me?
Above him. I don't know how I can continue either. I don't know where I can summon the will to go on.
I thought my pear segue was perfect.
Let's let the listener be the judge. Rachel, what's that you got there?
So I found Above and Below to have some remnants of a very self-contained D&D game.
It does in some respects.
In some, yeah.
I agree.
In the aspect of, like, you're able to go on an adventure and, like, something happens on this adventure and you have the choice of, like, you know, if you come across a person in this cave who is stuck, their cart wheel has fallen off.
So can I tell you what I love about this?
Yes.
So it's you've played a billion board games like this. You get the stuff, you buy cards, the cards help you get more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're building an engine to get more points, right?
Right.
Every element of this game has been present in 100 other board games, literally. But the one thing that it doesn't have is that one of the actions you can take, in addition to, like, laboring and collecting pears.
Let me ask you this. How delicious do you think these fake pears are?
Hold on a second. Shut up a second. So in addition to all the board gamey shit that you normally do, one of the other things you can do is go into these caves, right? I can tell that you're not enough. So when you go into the cave, I'm going to read you a story. And the story is, you just walked into a cave.
Okay.
There's a bug just scurried by you, but he looks at you knowingly. Do you stomp on it, or do you shake his hand and tell him what's up? What do you do, Mark Curtis? Curtis Sullivan?
He looked at me knowingly?
Yeah.
I'm going to shake his fucking hand. I'm going to roll the dice, and I'm going to shake that bug's hand.
And depending on which villagers you sent into the cave, you are going to be able to successfully shake that bug's hand and convince him that you're a cool dude that what you should hang out with. Or maybe you just stomped on him. And there are rewards for whatever choice you decide to go with.
Okay.
And there's this giant 100-page book filled with all of these different things that happen in the caves. There's like this really neat storytelling element.
And as you play the game more and more, you like get a better sense, because I've played this game a couple times now, you start to get a sense for the world that has been created, because all these different little stories start to build a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
so, like,
awesome.
Certain races that you can get from laborers,
they keep popping up.
If you have those dudes in certain stories, you get like an ally bonus.
Nice.
Because they were born in the cave.
Like if you get a fish folk,
yeah,
and you bring them into the cave with you, and you run into a bunch of other fish folk,
they'll give you a bonus. It's really cool.
They're called fish folk.
Yeah,
yeah,
not mer people, but fish folk.
No, they're called fish folk. Don't
Got
call
it.
Them mer people.
Okay, I'm just
that
right.
is their word.
Okay,
that's really rude, Curtis.
Wow.
Can I say that I think Above and Below is definitely in my current rotation. It's up there.
Yeah,
I'm playing that game more than just about any other board game right now. It can be played in about 45 minutes. You can get going in about 5. My lady friend, who doesn't play many board games, enjoys it. And I beat Nick when we played. So
I don't know. Nice. You guys were tied.
But I won.
No, you did.
Ty goes to Marcus.
I have.
We
to
agreed
say,
that Ty always goes to Marcus.
Okay. That's not true. I legitimately.
Is that out of pity?
Sorry, Rachel. What were you gonna say?
I have to say, I found it very fascinating to watch you two play together and Ty, using completely different strategies.
Because here's the thing: when I play above and the below, the above and the below, as I call it, I only want to go into those caves. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about points. I don't care about winning the game. I don't care about that. I just want to go have an adventure.
Trying to get up in that cave.
Every turn at the expense of all good sense and strategy, I am going into those caves.
Nick, what do you want to do? Cave.
Cave. Cave. Cave. Cave. Oh, I'd go into those caves right now if I could.
And
so
I have a very different strategy. I don't like to put my workers at risk. I like to live in a peaceful and prosperous society. So yeah. I build above. And I build many things above to allow my workers to eat and drink and be merry.
I don't think that whole game that you ever went down in the caves, not once.
Nope.
Wow.
You and I are just.
But in the end.
Which is
you
interesting
both
because
still
our
tied.
Lives are very opposite of that.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think you guys are living together, though, in perfect harmony.
Oh,
like
if we
side
were.
By side on your piano.
Yeah.
Keyboard. Oh, yep. No. Why don't we? That's all I got.
Oh, damn it.
So let me say this. This is the game sounds like it's very themey, and it's got lots of flavor text. Am I right? You're reading
so much flavor text.
I love flavor text. I love theme.
Curtis, you would really good art.
You would lose your. You would love.
You
this
would
game.
Really like this game, Curtis.
It's your jam.
Look, come for the flavor text. Mm-hmm. Stay for the fresh, delicious pears.
And mushrooms.
That's
and
the
mushrooms.
Name of this podcast.
You're selling it.
I'm gonna eat a pear as soon as I get home.
Oh my god, I just want a pear right now.
Yeah, it's a really, really great game. It was not available for, fucking months after it came out, and now it seems to be readily available.
Like so many other board games.
Was it a Kickstarter game?
It originally was a Kickstarter game. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yep,
and it's a really good example of Kickstarter gone right.
Yep,
We played a game recently, Burgle Bros.
Yeah,
and we talked about it, and in some ways, it was kind of a mess. In that the rules of it were a little hard to understand. It had some things that we struggled with because we didn't understand how it was kind of put together.
Yeah.
Above and Below feels extremely polished.
Nice.
It feels like somebody spent a very long time perfecting every aspect of this game. Feels a lot different.
It's a grade A board game. Absolutely.
It really, really is.
You guys are making me want to play so many board games.
I'm saying. Maybe. You know what's weird about board games?
Huh.
If I play a board game twice, I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Mm.
Why am I playing the same board game? I already played this board game again. Why should I really be playing a new board game?
That's true.
Yeah, but that's because you work in the industry.
That's the thing.
I just wonder if that's how it's going to be forever?
I hope not.
Because I used to wear a board game out.
But don't you want to keep playing Above and Below?
No.
Really?
You're done?
I got to play Above and Below 3-4 times.
Oh.
Yeah, but that was all within a week.
And I don't think I need to play it ever again.
What
and I absolutely
Muse?
Adored it.
Yeah, the game that I want to play very badly right now is Catacombs. That is my big game I want to play right now.
And Rachel mentioned Fuse, and that one's a little 10-minuter, so I can play that one. You know,
yeah,
once
Fuse
more,
times. One more time.
Seriously,
I got 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's,
I don't like
that's,
it.
That's rough.
Marcus, is Catacombs available right now?
It has not been available since Christmas.
So I know nothing about that game other than the box is one of the best things I've ever seen.
I feel like you and I played that game together.
Did Catacombs. We play the old version?
The flicking.
The little guy. We did play that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was like a long time ago.
That's a game where you flick discs at other discs. Marcus is making a face, but it's true. It's a game of flicking.
Marcus loves flicking.
Catacombs.
It's like his favorite.
That's not what it looks like at all.
That's what it is. To be reviewed next time on Super Skull.
No, it's not.
Catacombs?
No,
we don't have a copy of it. We can't get a copy of it.
I'm telling you guys.
Catacombs is a little black box, and then they redesigned it. Now it's a big, crazy, beautiful box.
Oh, Marcus,
box.
Sounds like this is a bet in the making, buddy. You want to make a bet
about
this?
No. I don't know how we're going to play it. It's not available to purchase.
Well, we've already played it. Curtis and I did.
When?
That one time.
The game I want to play and record with Curtis is I want Curtis to run a game for you, me, and Miss Polk of Descent. And I want to record it.
I want to play some Descent super bad.
Curtis runs it?
Yeah.
I'll run the shit out that shit.
Is there room for his creative milieu?
Oh, I'm going to run with it. It won't be a straight. It'll be house rules.
I think
that'd be fun to have Curtis run a game of Descent for us and record it. I think it'd be
Curtis
a blast.
To DM
I don't know if anybody want to listen to that, but
I
we should play
about
that.
To say that, Nick. I think that Curtis should write us one little popcorn campaign of fifth edition
popcorn
D&D.
Campaign.
Will you please? Will
yes.
you please do it?
We'll record
will
it.
Will you please do it?
Yeah, let's do it this weekend. What do you think? Like Saturday? Saturday, Sunday maybe?
Okay. I think we should do it on Monday.
Monday. Let's do it Monday, May the 2nd.
All right, sounds good.
Perfect.
Right. Bam.
I think that's it.
That's
I don't know.
It.
We just fucking rambled.
Well,
Rachel,
just
you're going
to
have to.
Yeah, we got it. I
just want a pair.
Our
For
guest,
some reason.
Our guest. Shut up. Our guest and producer and editor is Rachel Polk. Our music was created by A-Bomb. You can find his music on Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
And all of our art and design was created by Philip Wong. Very special thanks to the Ann Arbor District Library for the use of their recording studio.
You could subscribe to us if you would please do that and download and review the Super Skull Show on iTunes.
We spend a lot of time above and below the internet. You can find us all over it. Super Skull Show is our handle.
Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff and podcasts since 1996. Vault of Midnight Detroit, grand opening on May 2nd. My name is Nick Weibar.
I'm August Schwimmer.
And I am Curtis Sullivan.
And we wish you good reading until next week. You were talking about how you can drink a... What do you drink a beer out of?
It is a tradition, not one that I've partaken in.
Uh-huh.
Where the
You've heard tale.
I've heard tale. I've seen it.
You've seen it happen.
You've seen a man do this.
I've seen it happen. When young men in mid to upper Michigan shoot a buck, their first buck.
Uh-huh.
This is a Michigan thing you're saying.
I've never heard of it or seen it outside the state. That being said, I don't
God damn it, man. Okay.
I don't hunt
fucking,
outside the
we're
state.
Trying to do something in Michigan here, man.
Yeah, it's a Michigan thing. It's a Michigan thing,
okay.
I guess.
God damn it.
You get your first buck as a kid. You're pretty excited. It's a pretty big moment if you come from a hunting family.
Mm-hmm.
They will take the skin of the scrotum of the deer and wrap it around a cold beer can. First buck, first beer.
Okay. So let me make
Wait,
sure.
You don't like pour the beer into the nutsack?
No.
It's
the
not
a,
that's
a cozy.
This
it's
was
a
my
cozy.
Number one
cozy.
Question is that it's not a fucking frigid thing. It's not a vessel in and of itself.
It's like a cozy.
You have to wrap it around
the can of beer. First buck,
but then
first
you so somebody has to scoop the testicles out of the sack, though?
Correct.
So this it's just
absolutely
a clean sack, no testes.
Testicles have been removed to make room for the beer can.
Got it.